For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So the question I have for each of us here tonight is, have you heard the voice of the Son of God? This Jesus is saying that everyone will hear the voice of the Son of God sooner or later. These are amazing claims. Jesus Christ is claiming that he is the judge of all the earth. He's claiming that he has life in himself, and that at the sound of his voice, the graves will be opened and there will be the resurrection of the dead at his voice. Now that's quite a voice. You know, at my voice, there isn't very much gets done with my voice. You know, I raised a bunch of kids, and sometimes it seemed like my voice just wasn't going to do the job. And we try to accomplish things, don't we, with our voice, and it's very frustrating because we can't make it work. We can't make people do what we want them to do. But Jesus, when he speaks, everybody listens. Now, it's amazing because people want to say Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good man. But he was only a man. However, the Bible teaches that he was more than a man. The Bible teaches he was the very Son of God. God in the flesh. God come down from heaven and dwelt amongst us. And if he hadn't been that, he couldn't make such claims. Indeed, had he made these claims, and it is true what people say, that he really is only a man, he really just a good teacher, well then I'm sorry to contradict, but he wouldn't be a good man if he made these claims and he wasn't who he said he was. If Jesus wasn't who he said he was, then to make claims like he makes here would be the claims of a madman, or they'd be the claims of a very evil man, someone that would deceive you into believing that he's something that he's not. If I come up here and I make claims that I can't come through on, if I lie to you, you guys aren't going to come back and hear me. You hear Pastor Al's going to come preach to us. You wouldn't come in here to hear me if you know I'm going to stand up here and tell lies to you. Well, don't tell me that Jesus is a good man and that's all he is when he made claims like this. Because if you're saying he was just a good man and he made claims like this, you're contradicting yourself. He was who he said he was, or he was a madman, or he was an evil man. There's no middle ground. You can't say he was a good man if you believe he wasn't also God. Amen. But he was God, and he is God. And he could make these claims. And it was right that he would make these claims, because he is who he says he is. And because of that, we ought to hearken to the gospel, and we ought to listen to what he has to say. It's very interesting what he says, because he talks about two different times when people will hear his voice. Two times, and in two different ways. In verse 25, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. As the Father has life in himself, and as he has granted to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." So in verse 25, he says, the hour is coming and now is. Now, this is a very important distinction between this time and the other time that you hear his voice, because the other time you hear his voice, you hear his voice in verse 28. Verse 28, he says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." See the difference. One is the hour is coming, and now is. That is, now is when he was standing there saying it. The hour is coming, and now is. And the other one, he's saying the hour is coming in the future on the resurrection day. You see the difference here. Very important you make that distinction here. Because he's talking about two totally different things. Now, it's interesting when he says in verse 25, let's deal with this one first. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual new birth. He's talking about those who hear the gospel. The Bible talks about people being dead in their trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, he's talking to Christians and he says, you, that is you Christians, he's made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, this means that even though there are many people that are alive and their bodies are alive and their hearts are beating and their lungs are breathing, that God counts them as dead, even though they're alive, they're dead in trespasses and sins. But when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they hear the gospel, and they hear it with faith, and they accept Christ as their Savior, and they ask Him to be their Savior, then what they have done is they've heard the gospel to the salvation of their souls, they've been born again, and they are no longer dead in their trespasses and sins. That's the glory of amazing grace. I once was dead, but now I'm... Well, what he said, once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that's the testimony of every born-again Christian. It's a time when you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a stranger to you as far as personal faith in Him. You don't have a relationship with God. Oh, maybe you grew up in a religious environment where you did religious things. I did that. I mean, I was baptized as a baby. I took communion. I went through confirmation. I did all those things. But I was a stranger to the grace of God. I had not yet received Christ as my own personal Savior. So though I had done a lot of religious things, I was still a stranger to God. Until some guy came by the place where I was working and he told me about the new birth and how a person needed to receive Christ as their own Savior. You needed to ask Jesus to save you and you needed to repent of your sins and confess Him as your Lord, and then He'd be your Savior then. Oh, I had never heard that before. Now, I say I'd never heard it before, but I got a feeling that I did. Because I faintly remember maybe hearing that in Sunday school or maybe from the preacher, but I never heard it. You ever hear this saying from the lips of Christ? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what that means is, sometimes we hear things and we don't hear them. I am quite sure that I did hear the gospel sometime growing up, but I never really heard it until that one night when I was 21 years old and a man came by where I was working and he told me why Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross so that he might pay an atonement for the sins of his people. And that's the reason he died. And on that cross, he paid the penalty for the sins of all those that would ever accept him, all those that would ever believe in him. And that if we would receive, if I would receive Christ, that my sins would be placed upon Christ and his righteousness would be placed upon me, and I would be a new creature in Christ, and I'd be justified before God. My sins would be forgiven, and I have a new relationship with God. It was amazing. That's why I say it's amazing grace. God wants a relationship with me, with little old me. I didn't feel worthy. But I said, I prayed something like this. I don't remember the exact words, but I prayed something like this. I said, Lord, if you will have me, I'll be a Christian. But I need you to show me how. I need you to teach me, because I don't know how to be, I don't know how to be a Christian. I don't know how to be a holy man. I used to make fun of Christians. Called them goody-goody two-shoes back then. Laughed at them. But now I heard the gospel, and I heard it. I actually heard it. What I found out later, studying the Bible, what that was, the Holy Spirit opened my ears to hear it. Up to then, my ears were closed. I couldn't hear it. And maybe there's somebody here tonight in this room that you've heard these things before, but you never really heard them. Well, I hope the Holy Spirit's opened your ears to hear them now. Because you're going to hear the voice of the Son of Man, either the first one in verse 25, where he's offering eternal life to those that believe the gospel, or in verse 28, when the Son of Man gives that shout, the voice like the voice of an archangel, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and the dead will come forth from the grave, some to the resurrection of, what does he say, the resurrection of life, and others to the resurrection of condemnation. One of two resurrections, but both will hear the voice of the Son of God. You want to hear the voice of the Son of God now, before the day of the resurrection. Because if you hear the voice of the Son of God now in the preaching of the gospel, then you will live, you'll have spiritual life, and you'll not die that second death. You'll not experience that condemnation. You'll be raised with the resurrection of the just rather than the resurrection of the unjust. So you see how important it is that we hear the voice of the Son of God. Jesus Christ says, if they hear my voice, in verse 25, they hear my voice, and those who hear will live, because the Father has life in himself, and he has granted the Son to have life in himself. You ever think about life? I mean, just life. What is life? You ever think about what is life? You know, you take a squirrel or a dog or anything, any animal. And when they have life, they have they can respond to you. But you see them dead in the road. What's the difference? They're dead. You just got to bury them. They're no use, right? What makes us something alive? And I've often said this, people believe in evolution. They think that somehow we just all evolved or something. And they think, how could life have come from non-life? If I took this set of keys and I said, yeah, they're going to come alive someday, you'd say, come on. Well, no, it'd take billions of years. It'll take billions of years, but someday they'll come alive. Billions of years, these things will be dust. But you can't get life from non-life. It's impossible. It's ridiculous. It's not logical. And yet we have people that believe that. And I've said, the wisdom of God in creation, you see it all around us. And the most amazing thing is life. I've used this illustration before. If you took all the scientists of the earth, the smartest ones, gave them the best factories and the best laboratories, gave them all the money in the world, they couldn't make a bug. They couldn't make a fly. They couldn't. They can make something that looks like a fly, and you might not be able to tell it apart from a fly except for one thing. It won't be alive. Because they can't make life. You can brag about all the things they can do, and man likes to brag about how smart he is. But he can't make life. Can't make anything alive. But Jesus Christ says he is the Prince of Life. The Father has life in himself, and he's given me to have life, he says. Whoa. I need that life. I want that life. And that night, when I received Christ as my Savior, I found life. And some of you, I'm sure some of you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell by some of you nodding your heads, you've been born again. You know what I mean. Before you became a Christian, you didn't have life. It wasn't what you want to call life. It's not fit to be called life. My 21 years I lived without Christ, I don't count that as life. It wasn't life at all. It was misery. Oh, I had my fun. I had my stupid times, drunken times, times when I thought I was having fun. But all those wicked things, they didn't do anything for me. Jesus Christ said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And every Christian here knows that you didn't find abundant life until you found Jesus Christ. And that's when real life begins. And if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have never found the real life that there is to live. And by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can look forward to the day when you die. Because the sermon I preached this morning is from another place in John where he says, he that keeps my word shall never see death. That's a sermon I preached this morning. He that keeps my word, John 8:51, shall never see death. So for his own children, we don't have to be afraid of dying. It goes right from life to life for us. God graciously takes us from this life right into the next. Without anything in between. There's no such thing as purgatory. If you're one of those people who think you believe in purgatory, that's a man-made doctrine. You won't find it in any passage of the Bible. It's man-made. You go from life to life if you're a Christian. He that believes in God will never see death. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you've received him as your Savior. And so, if you will hear it, the voice is to life. But if you won't hear it, then he calls it to judgment. He calls us to judgment. He says, as he said in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming at which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Well, the fact of the matter is we've all done evil. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if God based that judgment strictly on good and evil, we wouldn't have a chance. None of us would. But that's where Jesus Christ comes in with the gospel. When he gives us his grace, and when we receive Christ, then his goodness becomes our goodness, and our sin becomes his sin that he bore on Calvary. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's our hope. We don't hope that we've lived a good enough life, but we hope that our confidence and our faith is in Christ alone, who did live a good enough life. And then we can have this blessed hope of this being raised on the resurrection day to the right resurrection, the resurrection of the just. We'll participate in Christ's resurrection at that time. And he proved it by being raised from the dead himself. Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and after 3 days he rose again, proving that he can come through on all of his promises of eternal life. Nobody else, people say, well, there's all kinds of religions. Well, there isn't any religion that has a risen Lord like Christianity. Christianity is the only religion that has somebody who's raised from the dead. Jesus Christ came back from the dead, and he was seen by many witnesses. Many witnesses. It's a very firmly established historical fact that Jesus Christ did indeed rise from the dead on that day. And because he rose from the dead, you put your faith in him, you will also rise from the dead and participate in the same kind of resurrection that Jesus Christ did. And you'll be raised without condemnation. You'll be raised to eternal life in Jesus Christ. So if you've not received Christ, my counsel to you is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You ask him to save you. If you do it right here while we pray, or you can go back to your room and in the privacy of your room, do you do business with God and say, Father, I want Christ as my Savior. I want to be a Christian. I want to participate in the first resurrection. Please forgive me of my sins. The Bible says he'll receive you. He says he will receive you. So that is our hope. That is our hope. Let me pray. Yeah. Father in heaven, we pray for everyone in this room that everyone will have received Jesus Christ before the day is over. We pray for those who have already received Christ, and we pray that you would comfort them and bless them and lead them and guide them and help them not to be afraid of death because you're there with them, Lord, and you've promised to take your little lambs with you to heaven, and that you've prepared a place for them, and that all will be well. Lord, we pray for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would grant them ears to hear, that they might hear the message that's been proclaimed in this room tonight, or this afternoon, and that they would be saved. Thank you for giving us life. We know that it only comes from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we want to sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed. You want to do that? Let's do it. Okay, sounds like something you want to do. So, somebody want to pick one out?
96?
Okay, 96. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Okay, that's a great song. Think you can play that one okay, Lori?
I think so.
Okay.